Casualties are increasing as Turkey presses on with its cross-border offensive on Kurdish-held areas of northern Syria. Reports say at least 11 civilians have died and dozens of fighters from the Kurdish-led SDF and pro-Turkish factions have also been killed. Now, as you know, Turkey is a member of NATO, but of those NATO members, only the US seems to support what is going on. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg was speaking at a Turkey security briefing this morning.
NATO supports Turkey with defensive missile systems, helping to protect Turkey's southern border. We also support Turkey with increased air and naval presence. Over the years, NATO has invested more than $5 billion in military facilities in Turkey, including important infrastructure such as naval bases and radar sites. All of this clearly demonstrates NATO's strong commitment to Turkish security. Today, we have discussed the fight against terrorism. Turkey is at the forefront of a very volatile region. No other NATO ally has suffered more terrorist attacks. No other NATO ally is more exposed to the instability, violence and turmoil from the Middle East. And no other NATO ally hosts so many refugees as Turkey does, many of them from Syria.
So is NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg making an excuse for something that other NATO members are so critical of? Turkish President Erdogan has threatened to allow millions of refugees into the EU if the EU described Turkey's military offensive in northeast Syria as an occupation or an invasion. Erdogan told the European Union to come to your senses during a speech in the capital, Ankara. He said he would open the doors and send the 3.6 million refugees to Europe. We'll hear some reporting now from the conflict zone from CNN's Sulasya Ward in Syria.
We're here on the road out of the town of Ras Al Ain. And as you can see, it is a chaotic situation. The streets, roads just choked full of cars filled with families desperate to get out of here. None of them understanding exactly what is going on, what has happened, what the intention of this Turkish military strikes are. We saw at least six big plumes of black smoke with our own eyes, at least one building that appeared to be on fire. And these people are now fleeing to try to get to safety, but they don't know exactly where safety might be. And let's just take a talk and chat to these people quickly. Khaifin, Yani, are you afraid? They're saying that they're frightened for the children, and you can imagine why. Look at the sky, it's thick with black smoke. There have been strikes for the last couple of hours. Kem infajarat, Ken? Katir. So they're saying there were many different explosions. She's saying there were many explosions. It was coming from shelling, artillery. They're now trying to get out. And they don't know where they're going or where they might be able to sleep tonight. Clarissa Ward, CNN, outside Ras Al Ain, Syria.
And that report, as you heard from CNN, Ahmed Becky runs the Kurdish Irish community in Ireland, and he is joining us now. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Now, this is a very worrying time for people in Ireland who have relatives in the area of conflict, the area of the occupation, so-called. What are you hearing from the region?
Well, simply, the region is, let's talk about the local people and local authorities. Local people are absolutely devastated, and they were in shock because of the Trump's giving the green light to Turkish authority to invade northern Syria, Rojava. So what happened is, usually most of the people were prepared for this moment, to be honest. What happened, usually people saying, oh no, United States betrayed Kurds. Guys down on the ground, they said no. They never betrayed us. They never promised us. They never did anything for us. They only supplied us with weapon, and they said our deal was only to get rid of ISIS. That was the issue, and they were prepared. What happened? The reason they chose.
So they were expecting this betrayal by Donald Trump, but you say they don't even see it as a betrayal. They knew what was on offer. They accepted the offer. But it is being portrayed as the Kurdish forces on the ground doing the dirty work of the United States, the work that would have involved troops from the United States getting killed. Instead, they offered air support, which did not put their own people in danger.
That's true. So, you know, if you look at the United States way, so absolutely they betrayed us. But in Kurdish view, that they said they never betrayed us, because why they chose United States? Because it was the least worse. We do have Assad. Imagine he's fighting in the last 8 years, and he's the weakest, the weak of the weakness, and he never recognized Kurds, first of all. And the second, Turkey is the second largest army in NATO. We are fighting them, so this is big enemy. Iran is the
But here we had a situation where one NATO member, Turkey, wanted to crush the Kurds and has wanted to do so forever. And then you have another NATO member, the United States, mm-hmm. supplying those people with arms that the Turks would like to crush. Now, admittedly, the arms were not supposed to be used on the Turks. They were to be used on the forces of ISIS.
Sure.
But it's a bizarre situation.
It is bizarre situation, but see what happened when you are facing, I do call Donald Trump is a businessman. So he doesn't have principle, let's say. He doesn't have, like, he's not normal person that he been elected. So he literally, he's not normal. So what happened is he only cares about money. So what happened, the very last call between himself and Erdogan, so Erdogan offered him a deal just to increase the commercial between the two countries over $1 billion, and he was happy. What happened is all is about deal.
Currently, Turkey is buying weaponry, missiles from Russia. I presume part of this deal would be that some of those missile sales would now revert to the United States.
That's correct. And the issue here is United States always wanted from Turkey not to use, even they don't want to set up, even they bought it, but don't want to set it up. And I believe that Turkey promised United States, even they bought it from Russia, but they are not going to use it, or they are not going to set up on the Turkish.
What will the Turkish forces do now? I mean, there will be a displacement of Kurdish people. Where will they go?
This is the question here. What happened is because the deal between the United States and Turkey to go ahead to the south of Syria, almost 65 miles or kilometers.
So this is not what Erdogan says he wants to do. He wants a 20-kilometer buffer zone running about 300 kilometers in length. But he is going to, you believe, to expand much beyond that.
It's going to go way ahead. And simply because what happened is, let's say, from the Turkish border to 35 kilometers to south to northern Syria, this is pure Kurds. When you pass these 35 kilometers, are completely Arab. So what happened is he knows automatically if he passed these 35 kilometers, he is going to be in Arab region. When you are in Arab region, all these people, and they were, most of them were ISIS, most of them were al-Nusra, most of them were al-Qaeda, so he knows he's in a safe place, and we don't have to explain that Erdogan has a very, very good connection with ISIS and with al-Nusra, al-Qaeda, so simply he was supporting them.
So those ISIS people who are currently captured by the Kurds and in detention, held by the Kurds, do you believe they'll be released?
There are thousands of calls asking Kurdish forces to release this. Since America betrayed us, let's release this and let them to do whatever they want. What happened is Syrian Democratic Forces.
So in other words, all the ISIS people who promised to bring down wrath on the West, on America and on Europe and so on, this is payback time. The Kurds are saying, release these people, because if the United States does not back us, well, let's see what the consequences are for them.
This is the Kurdish street saying, but Kurdish Democratic Forces and the local authorities say, no, we do have a principle. So we are not going to do a dirty job as some powerful countries did it. So our principle is to fight, and then we are not going to go back. So we have only one way. So we are not going to give our region to Assad or Turkey to ISIS. We have only one way. We are going to go ahead. So what happened is the blood is the price of it. So
you are going to resist Turkey? I mean, rather than flee, and where would you go anyway?
Well, simply these people are going to be killed, and a big genocide and a slaughter. We know it's ahead of them. Literally, I will tell you a very simple thing. So my dad is 85 years of age, and he packed all his stuff, and he's waiting in front of his door, and don't know when he's going to leave. And what happened when I asked him yesterday, where are you going to go? He said, I have no idea.
Kurds are living in many different countries. I mean, they want a homeland. That's the ambition of Kurdish people for a long time. Is there any of those countries where you find Kurdish people where there is a welcome? Is there a welcome in Iraq?
What happened is when you don't have your own state, so that means there is no official welcome, first of all. And the second, Kurdistan region, northern Iraq, so opening their arms. But what happened is they have limited access. They don't have this powerful, even refugee camps down there, they're miserable. They don't care about it simply because they can't take care of it. It needs lots of international support because it needs funding. It needs lots of work. So which is, I don't think they are able to afford it. And the other part, let's say Rojalat, so the Iranian part, they are not official. They can't do it.
Are you hopeful that something in the American Congress, there are over 20 Republicans who are saying they will sanction Turkey. There could be a majority big enough to overcome any veto that President Trump would have on a move to sanction Turkey.
Even if they sanction Turkey right now, but what happened is that the Turkish operation or invasion is going on. So no one is going to stop Turkey. So what happened is, thank you so much for all these Republic and Democrat MPs in Congress. But what happened is since Donald Trump is giving, Turkish authorities the green light, so they're going ahead, they're doing their job. And so this is the issue. It needs time to stop Turkey, because when you get in, so it's not easy to say, no, stop. You can't do it straight away.
Can the Kurdish forces make life very uncomfortable for Turkish troops on the ground?
Absolutely. In the last 48 hours, I don't know if you are following the media, in the last 48 hours, only Turks took 7, 8, 10 max villages, which is, so the land is completely, it's flat land. So it's not a mountain area, so you can't hide yourself or you can't hide your weapons. It's completely flat. So even flat, so Turks weren't able to go ahead. They weren't able to go farther because they are absolutely finding it very, very hard for them. It's a desperate battle, to be honest. It's absolutely desperate battle.
Well, it's not going to finish anytime soon, is what you're saying, in spite of any international efforts. Turkey is in, and it will take a lot to get them out.
It is, because, as I said earlier, from my experience communicating with local people, local authorities in back home in Rojava, they're saying, we have one principle, so which is die on our land. So we United States, let's call it, betrayed. So even they step down, they step back, but we are not going. So we are going to fight till the last minute of our life.
Ahmed Beki, who runs the Kurdish-Irish Community in Ireland Group, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me here. Thank you.